This podcast was created on Messy. Create your own show today at messy.fm.
Hello, Sheddies. It's weird. I'm in my shed right now, obviously. I'm shed casting to you. It feels extra echoey right now. And all I can think is that I did just finish recording an episode of the Eddie and AJ podcast with AJ Martinez. And I feel like it was less echoey when he was here. And he is quite a big man. I think that he's a good source of sound insulation. I think he was sort of absorbing the sound waves so they didn't bounce around too much. And now it's empty in here. It feels kind of hollow. Anyway, I got to come clean with you right now and level with you. I am completely unprepared. It's already a day later than I wanted it to be. And I don't know. Wait, it's not a day late. I'm doing it on time. Wow. I'm stupid.
It is a day late.
Anyway, as you can see, I'm disorganized. Well, as you can hear, I'm disorganized. Normally I have some rough idea what I'm going to talk about. I don't really have a lot to talk about, which is a problem. You know, the issue is we're sort of mid-season. It's that point in the Premiership, in the season, when there's still a lot of movement going on in the league. There's not a lot we can, it's still too early to be, you know, for example, we can't say, oh, Newcastle's definitely going down. It looks like it's still a bit of a toss-up for who will be relegated, and the teams are still very close, mid-table and up at the top. Things could move around a lot, so it's hard to get super excited. The games themselves this weekend, there were a couple of good ones. There were some really shit ones. There was a lot of penalties, which pissed me off. Also, the Six Nations is looming, so it's hard, but the Six Nations is on its way, the Six Nations, but we haven't had any squads announced. Eddie Jones hasn't picked any teenage academy prospects to start for England, or any Scottish players, or any shit players, or anything like that. So it's hard to get fired up about stuff. See, that's the problem. Rugby Rant to Banter really was born out of a sense of frustration and passionate rage. I came into my shed. Don't take that the wrong way, you freak. I came inside my shed. And I just ranted, abanted. I lost my mind in here complaining about shit. And I meant that shit when I said it. And now there's not a lot. I don't have a lot. I'm not upset about very much. But I'll try to get upset and we'll see what happens. As I say, I don't know what to talk about, but I feel like I owe you a podcast. Did I miss one last week? I believe I did. I think we missed a week, and I haven't done that in a very, very long time, if ever. Anyway, let's just get on with it, shall we? Not a normal. Usually, I start by talking about something interesting outside of the world of rugby. I say something silly and stupid, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get on with it, and hopefully, we can get this over with very, very quickly, and you won't be too traumatized by the end of it. Not like the last episode. Which I think was last week, actually. Fuck it, who cares? Let's do this. It's Rugby Rant to Banter, episode 34. We're getting old, aren't we? Let's do this. Come on. Last episode. Cock-ups indeed.
Cock-ups.
I made some cock-ups, didn't I? This is why I used to have a segment called cock-ups, because I used to cock shit up all the time. Felt like I'd sort of left that behind, but I haven't. So listen, right now, off the bat, yeah, I said Andy Good a number of times, at least a dozen times, when I meant to say Alex Good. Yeah. And yeah, I forgot Francois Lowe's name at one point. It was annoying. And yeah, it ain't the first time I've forgotten names or even basic words during an episode. And yeah, I recorded about 10 minutes of gay pirate erotica at the end of the episode. And yes, it was weird. And yeah, I have no idea why I did that. And yeah, sure, I am slightly retarded. But I would argue that most of what I record over the months that I've been doing this with you, most of what I've recorded have been real words in complete sentences without any hint of gay pirates. I mean, that hardly ever happens, right? Can you remember another time I was describing a cabin boy sucking an old pirate's cock? No. So yeah, I'm retarded, but I am a very functional retarded person, and you should respect that. I mean, you come into my shed, right? My shedcast, to listen to my fucking opinions. Oh, my heat has come on. Cock-ups. The irony is, if it is an irony, I tend to use that word randomly. I don't think you can hear the heater when it comes on. I sit here freezing, but I'm not even certain that the microphone picks it up when my heater comes on. Ah, fuck it. I'll suffer. I deserve it. Just give me basic respect and dignity, okay? Understand that, by the way, everybody does that thing with Alex Good. Say Andy Good by mistake. But, see, this is the thing. I'm in this shed by myself like a little fucking loser, and I don't have someone to go, oh, what? Who? Who? Andy Good? So I just kept going with it. But I'm very angry about it. You probably don't think it's that big of a deal, do you? But I do. Perhaps you do think it's a big deal, actually. In which case, fuck off. It's not that big of a deal. But I think it's a big deal. Okay? I'm just going to talk vaguely about the weekend's rugby. Because, again, I listen to podcasts, a number of rugby podcasts myself. They're all great. Maulover, Egg Chasers, other ones. And they're all very useful and helpful. And they do such a good job of analyzing the matches. I don't think I'm going to follow that format anymore. I started doing that for a long time now. I've been going through each weekend trying to cover each match. I don't think there's any need for it. I don't want to do it. What I will do instead is just cover the things that I found. Generally, I find myself very angry at some point or laughing hysterically at something. For example, someone's bottom came out in a match and Ben K said it was a bit cheeky, and that was funny and it made me laugh, but it's not worth talking about on this podcast. But that's just an example. But generally, I just get angry about shit. But I will, once again, this particular shedcast, I just keep calling it a shedcast now. I don't know if you're on board with that. I don't think this is a podcast. I think it's a shedcast because that makes it unique. Well, gay pirate erotica also makes it unique, but I don't want to do that. Do you know what's weird? I went to bed. First of all, I should point out, I was very proud of that segment when I did it because I did it drunk, not the shedcast. I read Pirate Erotica drunk in front of friends and we were all pissing ourselves laughing. I did it in my shed, not drunk, but I still thought it was funny. And it was only the next day when I was listening back to my shedcast for quality assurance. And I heard that bit and I thought, a few things. First of all, very, very uncomfortable to listen to. And this is me. I'm listening to myself. I can only imagine if another man was reading it. Just a weird thing to have to listen to. Also, not very funny. Also, I can't remember what the other thing was. But you get the jizz of it, right? Not very long. It was very long, much longer than I thought it would be. And at the time, as I say, when I was recording it, I thought it was hilarious. And when I listened back to it, I just thought, this is bizarre. And look, I'm not embarrassed about it or ashamed. I'm just sort of, look, I'm on your side. I'm kind of irritated by it. What a waste of everyone's time. I promise not to do that again, unless you want me to, in which case I'm still not going to do it. I would just give you some links to, you know, read it yourself. If you need to hear, I think my voice probably would be good for gay spoken word pornography, particularly pirate porn. I think I did a good job of the pirate voice. I think I did a good job of the innocent cabin boy. Bit creepy though, and I don't want to do it, but I'd do it for a price. It doesn't matter. Fucking hell. Anyway, not going to do that again. Rugby over the weekend. What was interesting? Saracens lost to Sale. A lot of people thinking that. Well, there seems to be two views. There's the people that think Saracens got fucked over by the referee, and then there's the Sale fans who think they're not getting enough respect. When I watched that match, I remember just really enjoying it. It was a very, very physical, intense match. Sale, maybe not now, but they have been so underrated because they've looked for a while like a team capable of beating anyone. And, you know, and that's not surprising. When you look through their squad, you got Faf de Klerk, you got the world's best scrum half. Chris Ashton in the side. I've been outspokenly not that big of a Chris Ashton fan. But the thing is, he is a really good player. And I quite like him at fullback. I'm just saying, I don't think he's England's best option on the wing. There's a number of players. I'm not going to list the whole team, but there's a number of quality players in that team. John O'Ross, Denny Solomona, you know them all. Of course, they're losing their South African fly half, whose name escapes me right now. What's his name? Andy Good or something. That's going to be a huge loss. But what about AJ McGinty? When's he coming back? I don't know, and you can't tell me because you can't speak to me. So my feeling watching that match was, mostly by the end of it, I felt like Sale did a fucking number on Saracens, and I thought it was a well-deserved win. But I still would say, in the knockout stages of the league, certainly if they reach the final, I don't see Sale being able to. I think Saracens would play at a different intensity, but not necessarily. You never know. There were some bullshit penalties though in that game. I have to say the Owen Farrell penalty, or the yellow card, sorry, for Owen Farrell for a slight seatbelt tackle. The problem is, whoever he was tackling, was it Chris Ashton? He slammed into some big fucker. It was either Will Skelton or Billy Vunipola, and that made it look way worse. And then that was immediately followed by a bullshit penalty against Skelton for a standard tackle with the arms. What the fuck? Do you remember that? He's standing there. Someone runs into him. He doesn't dramatically wrap him. It was a I think he's a victim of his size. I think he's just a huge behemoth, so it looks worse. But those tackles are made multiple times every game. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm starting to understand why Saracens fans are feeling a little bit aggrieved. But, I mean, this is just typical. Penalties are ruining the game. I hate cards, any kind of card, birthday cards. It doesn't matter. I don't want them on a rugby pitch. And then I remember late in the match, Denny Solomona made a blatant no-arm tackle, no arms whatsoever, after the whistle went and got nothing. That was way worse than the Skelton hit. Anyway, I watched that whole match, though, and I enjoyed it. The Leicester versus... See, I just said earlier that I wasn't going to go over every single game, and I'm not. But I am referencing games, because the Leicester-Gloucester match was fucking great. I really enjoyed that. Much more like it from Tigers. Gloucester... Okay, they don't have Danny. It'll be interesting to see when Danny Cipriani comes back whether they get back into winning ways, because they kind of look like they're doing a classic Gloucester, getting your hopes up, making you think that they've got the goods, and then not being able to deliver. You know what was weird during that match? So I have this amazing ability when playing fantasy rugby to... Oh, by the way, that's one of the reasons I'm upset about the refereeing decisions and penalties, as I had two tries disallowed for two of my players. Who the fuck was it? I can't remember. I had two tries disallowed because of a goddamn TMO. I'm sick of all that shit. Anyway, been watching Manu Tuilagi. Have you noticed he has not had the same impact carrying the ball. I did start making notes. I don't have them here, but I started making a note basically saying exactly this. Manu does not have the same he's not the same physical threat he used to be with the ball in hand. Now, I wanted to know, is this because he's lost? You know, sometimes players get injured and they come back and they never have the same physical attributes that they had before the injury. You know, another one, Henry Trinder is another one that he's had some injuries and he's never quite been able, you know, it happens to players sometimes. If they fuck up an Achilles or get a really nasty leg injury of some sort, sometimes they never quite get their step back, get their power back. And Manu's entire body has been torn to pieces. So I was thinking, is it just that he's physically not what he used to be? Or, and this is my theory, is it that he's so worried about getting injured again because he spent so many seasons just immediately tearing his fucking quadriceps off the bone or something that he's sort of holding back? But now, I wrote something to that effect down as a note for the show. And as soon as I got, actually before I got done writing it, he fucking crippled someone. In fact, I think it was fucking Henry Trinder. He absolutely smashed him. And then, shortly after that, he put in another huge hit on someone. So he's still got the power, at least defensively. But I do think that, I think it is, I think he's kind of holding back a bit. I think he's just trying to last through each game and build his body back to where it needs to be. But we'll see, because I have no doubt Eddie Jones will be starting him in the Six Nations, and he needs to bring it when wearing the red rose. Not sure what happened there with my voice. Do you know what my biggest beef right now is? You know what really fucking irritates the shit out of me and actually ruined the matches this weekend? Why? Now, maybe someone can explain this to me on Twitter, because there might be some bullshit reason. But if, like, there's a TV obligations, like they have to do it, why do the commentators have to give away the results to the other matches? It's just literally nobody wants them. I guess not literally. Most people want to watch more than one match. And you can't watch them all at the same fucking time. So when I'm watching, I literally have to make sure I'm listening to a rugby match with one commentator, because I know if it's just one guy, they, for whatever reason, they don't spoil the other results. But if you've got Nick Mullins, you know, with Austin Healey, all that lot, they always give you updates on the other matches and ruin the fucking results. I don't want to hear the other results. I'm going to watch that match later, because sometimes, like I said, I try to watch a match with a solo commentator, but sometimes I'm just too fucking excited to watch a particular match. So I had two results spoiled. Some of the matches were so bad, and I can't even remember which ones. Everybody said the Bath-Worcester match was really good, but I seem to remember getting bored by it by halftime. The Northampton match, I actually watched Northampton, the whole Northampton Wasps match. Jesus Christ, so many errors. And by the way, when we're talking about errors and we're talking about my fantasy team, my first round draft pick was Sopoanga. And I'm sorry, like, okay. Yes, it's a big transition to come from the Southern Hemisphere to playing Premiership rugby. And it's hard to switch teams at all when you're a fly half. Getting used to the way that your new team plays, the new combinations, the tactics, the style of play, just being in that club, let alone that hemisphere, where things are just a little different. And he still has time to develop his game and get better. But I'll tell you what, right now I would say he has been a big disappointment. He has. I mean, when you look at it this way, I don't see much of a difference in terms of how he plays, in terms of the quality of his performance and his contribution towards the team. I don't see much difference between his performance and Billy Searle. And Searle is essentially a fucking academy player. I mean, he's very, very young, very inexperienced. You want him to play well when needed, but you certainly want a huge signing like Sopoanga to be noticeably better. And you know what? Every now and again, Sapuanga does a nice little offload, a nice pass, a nice kick. But he makes mistakes, and I was surprised. I picked him on reputation. I drafted him mainly on reputation. I hadn't seen a lot of him. I didn't realize how fragile he was. Fragile is not the right word because he's not getting injured or anything. But I didn't realize how lightweight he is. He gets knocked around a lot. He is a very small man in the world of Premiership rugby. I would say at this stage, it's been a bit of a disaster, that signing. And he is slowly starting to build. And don't get me wrong, he could end up being the signing of the season by the end of the season. But it doesn't look like it's going to go that way. And I wonder if Wasps might not have been better off going with, you know, getting a quality fly half who's used to the Premiership. Easier said than done, I know. But maybe even just a British, someone within the UK, somebody like Dan Bigger or something like that, I think that would have been a better option. But at least Dan Robson's back. He's also in my fantasy team. I've got the combination, the two combos. I've got Robson and Sapuanga, and then I also have Billy Searle and whoever the backup scrum half is now. I did have James Simpson, but I can't remember the fucking other Wasp scrum half who seems to be second choice now. But anyway, I have those combos. Isn't that fun? Aren't you interested in my fantasy team? Bloody hell. I'll tell you what, though. I can ruin players' careers by picking them for my fantasy team. It's amazing. Whoever's playing the best in Premiership, if I fucking somehow get a hold of them, they will either play the worst rugby of their life or get crippled and injured. One of my first signings was bloody Sam Simmons. And now he's fucking out. And I held on to him for a long time after he got injured because I was convinced he was going to make a miraculous recovery. Well, I got rid of him now, and it looks like he is going to come back soon. But I'm still not going to pick him again. I can't be... Ugh, fuck it. I do have Thomas Young, and he had a great game. He's such a great player. I wish that he didn't have any Wales caps because I would like... That's one non-English player I wouldn't mind us stealing. Certainly prefer to steal him to most of the bloody... Fucking hell. What's his name? The Kiwi. Brad Shields. Brad Shields does have some skills, and I think some people do underrate him, but everybody agrees he shouldn't have been in the England team. At least not yet, and probably never. I just remembered who it was. It was fucking James Wilson scored a try, and it was disallowed. I fucking hate... So, okay. I'm glad I remembered that, because if you saw that try or non-try, you might agree that it wasn't a try. But here's the thing. It is so goddamn close. The ball, in my opinion, it grazed the try line. Just grazed it. But if it touches the grass, it's a try, right? And unless I'm going crazy, see, it's amazing. A lot of people have been talking about it. I say a lot of people. It was on another podcast I was listening to. I can't remember which one because my brain is diseased. But the laws in rugby are way too open to debate. And not just that. Sometimes things you've been told your whole life turn out not to be true. Like you always thought they have to have the ball under control. They have to have downward pressure for a try. And apparently neither of those are true. But anyway... One thing's for sure, we all sort of agree that if there's a really, 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 really tight call, the attacking side gets the benefit of the doubt. The scorer gets the benefit of the doubt. When James Wilson grazed that try line with the ball and the fucking TMO had to look at it and they just talked about it for I don't know how long, so I fast forward through it. To me, if it's that close and you're like, could it have touched? I think it may have... You give that try. You just give it. Or not. Fuck off. I don't care. Anyway, there are other things that are pissing me off with rugby right now, but I don't want to get into it because it's too fucking controversial. I'm not going to say it. We live in an insane world where everyone's offended by fucking everything, so I can't say what I want to say. At some point, I will say this thing, and I will talk for about half an hour at least about a particular subject in the world of rugby union, it's not, but it transcends rugby union, goes straight into fucking politics, okay, and just your day-to-day life. It's something I feel very passionately about, but I'm not going to tell you about it right now. Is that interesting? Is that a good thing to say on a Shedcast? Here's that there's a thing that is so intense and fucked up, and I want to tell you, but I won't, but one day I will. Teaser. I will, but it'll probably be one of those things that I regret after. Fuck, but I've said some weird shit on this podcast. Sorry, Shedcast, that no doubt will come back to haunt me. I'm not even going to say it. You've heard it. I've said things about my past. I've said I made jokes that could offend very, very, very badly. And I've done gay pirate erotica. And I am ashamed of all these things, but it's too late. It's not like I'm going to delete old episodes or anything. Now, what's coming up in rugby? I don't know. Heineken Cup? That'll be fun. Hopefully there'll be something exciting. And then hopefully Eddie Jones. I miss Eddie Jones, that fucking madman. I miss him. When was the last time you even read a quote from Eddie Jones where he said someone was shit that you know is good, or he's furious with something? I don't know. Fuck, I can't even remember. I can't even think of an example of something Eddie Jones would say. But whatever it was would end in 100%. 100%. Anyway, I miss him. I can't wait to be furiously angry with his England squad selection. I hope this is still recording, and I hope it hasn't fucked up too much. It's going to be a short podcast, short and sweet and angry. If this is your first time listening, it must be very intriguing to hear me talking about gay pirate erotica and talking about things that I won't talk about. When have you heard that ever? Never. But if it is your first time, please subscribe, because sometimes it's very good and sometimes it's very funny. Tonight was, I say tonight, but it might not be tonight where you are. I'm doing this on my time, not yours. Get your own fucking time. This is my time. On my time, it's rather late. I'm in my shed. It's cold. We've had a major blizzard, although most of it has melted now, leaving dog shit everywhere that I couldn't see hidden under the snow. Anyway, subscribe so that you can understand one day how great this Shedcast can be. My name's Eddie Stevens. Follow me on Twitter at Eddie Stevens MD, and at Ranta Rugby is my rugby rant banter account, although I tend to fucking say most of my rugby shit from my Eddie Stevens MD account, so fucking whatever. One more little teaser before I go, though. I am definitely going to do a little side project where I invite people. I'm going to do one-on-one interviews. Originally, I was thinking with other rugby podcasters, but I think I'll just do it with people that I find interesting. I'm going to be getting at some point, and I probably shouldn't say this because he did agree to it, but it was a while ago. Things can change. Russ from Mallover has agreed to be my first shed guest. And I'll invite Russ to come inside my shed with me. And we'll discuss all sorts of things. And it's going to be fun because, well, you'll just have to see. But like and subscribe everything I do and worship me as the shed god that I am. Goodbye!
Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka! Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka! Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka!